Hello everyone, we are live. There was a problem, so I don't know if some people may not be receiving me in their browser, so that's why I'm updating the chat. Sorry about this. I had a false start and it had no sound, and so I had to reset it. Now we're doing good. How are you doing, Keith Richardson? We'll talk about demographics a little bit because it's been a while. We haven't talked about it. I had made predictions back then, and they still hold. So it's just that demographics is a very long thing to take, and so there's sometimes just no news to report about. It's like my predictions from 3-4 years ago still hold, that Europe is basically in a process of getting replaced by minorities. Particularly Muslims, but it's not the only minority that is replacing Europe. And what we are seeing right now is the slow decline of the total population of Europe. And that's simply because before the full takeover by minorities can happen, we must see the effect of the decline from the Christian lack of reproduction, the white people of Europe slowly disappearing, the boomers dying, and then there's going to be a state response, presumably, that will replenish the population numbers, because the state highly benefits from having just arbitrary growth of the population, even if it's unsustainable, even if they are more dependent populations, simply because the state rolls on numbers of heads. And the state taxes a number of people, and there's lots of jobs to be given to minorities who are coming, and the state can arrange this to prop up its numbers. Sorry for the late start, because we're starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I worked so hard today that I didn't see the time pass, and I didn't realize that it was later than I thought, because I've spent the day working on these doors. I've built some doors for my new little shed for storage space. Handmade doors, all made from wood that I chopped myself. Two little fence boards holding horizontally from the hinges. And then I've added vertical boards one after the other, and that gives us a beautiful door with a locket here, with a handle here. And I made that two times, so we have two big doors protecting the content of our storage space. And that's from the inside view. There it is. The door is working well. I'm amazed. I really love building. It's a lot of fun, a lot of learning. It's really nice. I can't wait to store stuff in there. Firestarter says, JF saw milled lumber. No, I didn't chop the lumber myself from tree, but I worked from dimensional lumber, and I cut the sizes that I need to create that kind of stuff. So as you can see, it's just one plank holding the vertical plank here, another plank at the bottom that's holding the lower part of the planks, and that's it. For the rest, it's just install an end all, install a locket, install the hinges. And for anyone who's been doing this, you know that it's all about being truly 90 degrees. It's super hard to start from scratch and have it right, because you want to screw one piece to another, but then it messes up with your 90 degree angle. And it's really a fine work in terms of positioning well and making sure, as you add the different planks to the door, that you don't mess up the alignment, because a door is a matter of millimeters of alignment. And it can have some friction that leads it to be hard to open. But I've been learning a lot on how to position, how to do this relatively quick. Corvin Callsign says, trees don't grow level or at 90 degrees. They don't, but dimensional lumber does. We also had a beautiful harvest of lettuces today, full bowl of lettuce, beet greens, arugula, all sorts of different lettuces, and the raised bed is still doing awesome. We still have plenty of leaves left in there for the whole summer. All right, so let's talk about the new demographic statistics coming out. EU population declines for second straight year. The EU population has decreased for the second year running, reflecting the devastating impacts of the coronavirus, according to Eurostat. I'm not sure we're truly capturing just the coronavirus. At this point, we have so many people in the populations that are dependent on vaccines, and we don't have a way to clearly estimate how many old people are we killing with routine vaccine schedules. We just don't have an answer to that question. So I think that the causal analysis here is not necessarily correct. The bloc's population had been increasing year on year, hitting a pre-pandemic level of 447 million people on January 1st, 2020. And look at this, stabilizes and then starts dropping. This is a consequence of mostly old people dying while young people aren't making enough baby. The EU has an aging population with 1 in 5 people over the age of 65. At the same time, fewer babies are born, with the rate having fallen from 10.2 live births out of every 1,000 population in 2001 to 9.1 in 2020. This means the natural change of the EU population is negative. While it's been that way for about a decade, the decline has been masked by the net positive impact of migration, which was temporarily frozen due to pandemic's travel bans. So you see here the amazingly, the pandemic allows us to see statistically something that was going on anyway. But basically, it's the hit of the pandemic on immigration. So you see how dependent states have become on immigration. When it took the COVID crisis to see that statistic play out here, because immigration has been failing for 2 years because of all the travel restrictions and that kind of stuff. Robert Paulson has sent a super chat. Thank you very much. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the super chat button on Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. It's the dollar button just right below the chat. And as an alternative, I also offer Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. You can send super chats and free questions on Entropy. Robert Paulson was saying, Jeff, I noticed the message of mold bug and Jordan Peterson is very similar. Focus on your own life. Stop trying to bring your religion into politics and trust a higher power, whether it's dark elves or God's grace, to save you. Do you think this is a coordinated message from the IDW? Yeah, I saw you discussing that point on the Discord. It's very interesting. I had not noticed the parallel here. But it is unilateral disarmament, and I've used those words to describe both what Moldbug was saying and what Jordan Peterson is saying. Of course, Jordan Peterson is saying it now to the Muslims for some reason. People have argued it may have something to do with his joining of the Daily Wire. But yeah, I think you are correct. I don't know that it's necessarily a bunch of evil people plotting, let's everyone from the IDW, let us wreck people's life. But I think that it's always been an underlying theme of the IDW anyway. Whether they joined the IDW from the sides of secularism or science or more like psychology with Jordan Peterson, The IDW has always been an enterprise of gatekeeping and disengagement. Even to a certain extent, Brett Weinstein's Unity Party is a form of disengagement. It's like, vote for this useless party, which doesn't even exist yet, instead of, you know, understanding the current politics war and that you have to vote Democrat or Republican if you want to have some impact on what happens in this particular election. So in a way, the IDW has repeatedly been engaged in disarmament, unilateral disarmament of the majority population and of anyone who may think conservative or traditional thinking. So yes, it's not abusive to be thinking that there is some form of coordination going on. Probably a coordination of interest and a coordination of selection of who ends up making these points. Now, why would Curtis Yarvin be included in the IDW? I'm not sure. Curtis Yarvin has been getting some Fox News coverage, so he's kind of working on his mainstream, more mainstream appeal these years. He could be planning some kind of a move to associate with more mainstream personalities and kind of detach himself from the far-right label that somehow was put on him, but I don't think is justified. So yes, I think it's very fine analysis, Robert Paulson. Stephen J. James sends a super chat. He says, powerful argument against recreational drug use at the end of the show yesterday. Zoomers need to hear it. Very based. Yeah, I mean, it's an argument I've been doing for a while. You know, I've been talking about this for years, that drugs, they turn you on the inside, and drugs have led me to become a neuroscientist, to become fascinated with the human mind. It's like, this is where it clicked. When I started experimenting these drugs and realized, oh my God, my mind can be impacted by a molecule. Therefore, the mind is in the brain. Therefore, the mechanism of the brain are the most fascinating thing to analyze. But I grew out of this to a certain extent. I mean, I still think that neuroscience is a decent thing to study. Not in the way we're currently doing, but eventually. It's a subject of scientific interest. But to be turned on the inside so much is kind of blinding you to the reality out there. And the reality out there is so much more fascinating. Even if you are fascinated by the mind, you will understand the mind better when you understand the mind as a tool of input-output. And ultimately, it's how the world interacts with the mind that is the fascinating part. It's how we evolve to deploy those internal mechanisms to have an output. And ultimately, it's the series of input-outputs that are interesting, not so much what's in the black box. Because in the black box, we know the answer basically without knowing it. We know it's going to be a bunch of networks. They're going to be finely arranged so that they deploy all of the behavior that we observe in the lab or in reality. Silver Spider says, better than plumbing, JF? What, do I prefer building to plumbing? Plumbing is something plumbing is more significant in my life right now than building. Building is really fun, but most people can do building. Some people will never do plumbing, and so when you do plumbing, you feel that you're doing something very special. And the advances that you get by plumbing are so intense, like automatic watering of my garden. This has saved me countless hours this year. Sometimes I just don't go to the greenhouse for a whole week. I know it's being watered, everything is fine. I come back and the plants have grown by a foot. It's amazing. Someone was saying before the show began, Jeff, you better bring out the demographic charts of religious affiliation and race for Europe. Okay, well, since you have asked, here it is. So the Christians are still forming 74%, 74.5% of Europe. However, they are in decline. Look at this from 2010 to 2020, a drop by a couple hundred thousand. So their population are in decline, and what is predicted will happen is a continued decline because they simply don't reproduce quick enough. Whereas the Muslim population here from 2010 grew from 43 million to 50 million. So this population, and this is kind of a deceptive graph because it shows only the Muslims and the unaffiliated, but the reality is there is also an ongoing racial change in Europe. However, Europe doesn't like racial statistics, so it's impossible basically to know for sure how many black people are also taking over the demographics curve here, how much of them are replacing the Christians whites. Impossible to know. And here you have the fertility rate by religious affiliations. So Christians are at 1.6 babies per couple. Muslims are at 2.1 babies per couple. So it's really not hard. And Jews are at 1.8, and Hindus are at 1.5. It's really not hard to look at this graph and know what will happen with the future of Europe. Muslims are either at replacement or above replacement, and all the other populations are below replacement. That means the other population will eventually disappear from Europe, become extreme minorities. Of course, there will be always a nuclei of Christians who make a lot of babies. So there will be counter-evolutionary forces showing up and kind of trying to upset the domination of Muslims, but I mean, I don't see it happening that the reversal would be so intense that the Christians would end up dominating again. Mark says, JF, how will the process end in Sweden 100 years from now? It's very hard to know what happens at the end because it's a demographics question and there's no end to it. It's like, at what point will we have a bounce back of the relative representation of Christians in Europe? If I was to bet anywhere, it might be when Christians start forming somewhere between 10 to 40% of the population. Then you're going to have a bounce back because while the Muslims are outbreeding the Christians, it's also the case that within the Christians group, you have people getting weeded out evolutionarily. So the Christians that are making just one baby per couple, these people will disappear quicker than the Christians who are making seven, eight babies per family. And eventually, you're going to reach the bottom where, okay, there's no more Christians who make one baby per couple. Now, all you got is Christians that make two, three, four babies per couple. So there will be a bounce back, but this bounce back, I'm afraid, in a minority majority population will be very hard to make fructify into something that would gain back majority. I don't think we'll gain back majority, and that's also true for Sweden. My predictions 4 years ago were very simple. Europe is about to be overbred by new demographics, Muslims in particular, but they're not the only one. They will be outbred, and we're talking about majority Muslim population in different countries of Europe between 50 years from now and 100 years from now. And so that's still my prediction. And I had given more precise judgment of each country. I don't even remember the details, but France was in a bad state. Sweden is a particular case because Sweden went very late into the woke rearrangement of their immigration policy. So I don't know if they keep up at the speed that they're doing. They've basically been taking back on their delay. They've been going at higher speed in terms of increasing their immigration population. Will this create a backlash and will they walk it back? I don't know. People are reporting buffering. Hopefully this will improve. Go away, says Jeff. Is this natural selection? Are Europeans too high preference for investment in the child, meaning they prioritize smaller number of children with more resources invested in them? Or will population brought into the West converge to the same preferences once in our environment? It's cool that you asked this question because it makes me think that there's a subject I wanted to cover, which I hadn't covered up to now, and it's that the environment, the European environment that minorities are thriving in today is not the Europe that farmed white people. It's very important to understand this. White people and their phenotypic features in Europe were needed 400 years ago to survive in Europe. The Europe of today, which is a gift of the white people of Europe to the world, the Europe of today has ways to heat, has ways to make life, even in a Nordic country like Sweden, not really Nordic. Because you have heating, you have all sorts of facilities that help people, you have the state, you have the engineers of all towns that are basically creating a world in which it's much easier to live, even if you're not white. So basically, we have warmed Europe to all sorts of life that was not possible 400 years ago. And we will not be benefiting from the warming. We will not be benefiting from the facilitation of life that we created on this continent, because some other life forms, some other groups, some other demographics have taken, they've taken the tricks that we invented to make life easier, and have adapted them to, have adapted these tricks to their own living. Now, so yes, when you guys are asking what is the end of it all, the end of it all is probably European countries that are so not European anymore that they basically lose their attractive power. They fall in some sort of extremely inefficient socialism of some kind, like African-type socialism, in the sense of a state ever-growing, but no more tax basis to drain from. And that is the end of Europe. It's an overtake and a destruction of it to the point where it's not even attractive to live there anymore. We're already in the phase where it's increasingly less attractive to go live in Europe. And someone was sharing this graph before the show began. Fertility versus IQ world maps. The maps speaks for themselves, not looking good. I mean, if you think that intelligence has any chance on this planet, you have to look back at this map. Fertility rates are the lowest in blue. So we're talking about fertility rates of 1 and 1.5 for countries like Canada, Europe, Russia, United States, Australia. And then we're talking about fertility rates up to 7 for countries like Africa, and then some countries are in between. Now you look at the average IQ by country. It ranges from 40 in blue to 110 in red, and basically it's an inverse relationship. Those countries where there's high IQ, and this is where intelligence definitely is a is a handicap in the game of life. Intelligence will reduce your ability to reproduce. It will reduce your number of babies. Therefore, the world of tomorrow is even more stupid than the world of today. This is something you have to prepare for. I prepare for it by living away from people. So presumably by doing so, I'm escaping stupid people. But if you intend to live in a highly crowded area, it's going to get worse, worse and worse and worse before it gets better. And we're not even talking about a point in time where we can tell that it's going to get better. That is the map that demonstrates for sure that intelligence will be selected against. And we are headed toward a very low intelligence world. You know, people like Edward Dutton have been doubting that we could even successfully operate plane networks eventually. Some of the things that we have come to take for granted will become absolutely dangerous, because there's not going to be enough intelligent people to even run society as we know it. Lindalt Guntram says, NATO is working for Mr. Soros. Mr. Stoltenberg admitted so today by comparing NATO and Soros notes, so to say, and practically establishing correspondence. I'm not aware of this. I'll have to take a look at it. The report from the Uvalde... Oh, before I do so, Go Away sends a message. He says, in 500 years from now, when Caucasians have been a minority for many centuries, will they be operating in a way similar to Jewish populations today, with high in-group preferences, or will intermarriage between ethnic groups prevent this from happening? Well, that's an interesting question. I certainly think that there's a big chance, and I've been predicting this before, that white people as a whole will, and particularly white European descendants of Christians, will become a new Jewish diaspora of some kind. That their country is being lost to majority control that is not under their capacity. I expect that white will have to survive in the very same way Jews have had to survive for many hundreds of years and thousands of years. So that is one possibility. However, one can note that white people are not exactly like Jews, and the situation could change. The situation, the ways in which white people find to survive may very well differ from what the Jews found. One thing we note is, you know, there is such a thing as white flight. So white people getting away from the city and establishing in the whitest states possible. This reveals that white people don't flee toward the high population center the way Jews sometimes do, and they have done so in their past, being engaged in merchant activities and global trading. White people may have a different instinct when they flee, and that fleeing may not lock them into a global diaspora lifestyle, but it may lock them instead in, you know, just gather to the closest white fortress and defend it archly. So if that is the case, then what we would see is a kind of future feudal world in which little kingdoms of white populations, pockets of white population, instead of fleeing, instead of being expelled, could find ways to defend fortresses or cities that they constitute a strong majority in. That is absolutely possible. I think in a way it's more desirable because it doesn't lock us into forever living in the countries of others, but at least, you know, make a last stand in some place that we can call home. Artemis says, France is fucked. I was born in Tunisia, and I was one when my parents moved in 1970 to France. Back then, France was mainly based on assimilation, and it was great, and I never doubted that I was French, until the left came in the 80s with another concept called integration for electoral reasons. Yeah, it's so sad to see the greatest nations on earth self-destroying through their own demographics policies. The Uvalde shooting report is out, and part of the report reads as follows. Another factor contributing to relaxed vigilance on campus was the frequency of security alerts and campus lockdowns resulting from a recent rise of bailouts, the term used in border communities for the increasingly frequent occurrence of human traffickers trying to outrun the police, usually ending with the smuggler crashing the vehicle and the passengers fleeing in all directions. The frequency of these bailout-related alarms, around 50 of them between February and May of 2022, contributed to a diminished sense of vigilance about responding to security alerts. Wow. So people had lower vigilance because it is so frequent in this community, apparently, that human traffickers end up in a ditch with their pickup trucks because they're running away from the police, that this particular shooter happens to have run his pickup truck in a ditch, and so maybe it's just one more human trafficker. It's stunning when you think about it. Stunning that, and it leads me to ask, was the shooter trying to imitate this kind of event to be more precisely lower people's vigilance? Because why he crashed his truck before going on a shooting is still an unanswered question to me. Perhaps it was part of a strategy to attract attention at the wrong place, or for attract a false conclusion in security services' head and then go on with his shooting. The report mentions systemic failures, nearly 400 law enforcement officials rushed to a mass shooting at a Uvalde elementary school, but systemic failures created a chaotic scene that lasted more than an hour before the gunman who took 21 lives was finally confronted and killed, according to a report from investigators released Sunday. So some of the systemic failures are Burroughs said that the Uvalde department, who were in Rob Elementary School, either knew or should have known that there was dying in that classroom, and said they should have acted with more urgency given that it was an active shooter situation, not a barricaded subject. He said that the main goal of police in an active shooter situation is to stop the killing, and they were mentioning that false information had spread within the police force at the moment of the shooting. Some policemen were told that their chief of police was in the room and negotiating with the shooter, while it wasn't true. So this is what we learned for now from the report about the Uvalde shooting. Goaway says they're co-opting the term bailout to memory hold the event theft of billions of taxpayer dollars. I'm losing my voice. Billions of taxpayer dollars in 2008. Don't take the bait, friend. You are referring to the bailout of the banks. I don't think it's related to this. All right, Ted Cruz is bringing an interesting subject. Will we have a conservative political project to make gay marriage not recognized in certain states? It seems to be what Ted Cruz is suggesting. Ted Cruz says Supreme Court was clearly wrong about 2015 same-sex marriage ruling. Senator Ted Cruz believed the U.S. Supreme Court was clearly wrong. Obergefell, like Roe v. Wade, ignored two centuries of our nation's history, Cruz said in a clip posted on his YouTube channel for his podcast. Marriage was always an issue that was left to the states. We saw states before Obergefell. Some states were moving to allow gay marriage. Other states were moving to allow civil partnerships. There were different standards that the states were adopting. This is going to be a very interesting story to follow, because now that we've had a success with Roe v. Wade, can we get the Supreme Court to basically decide that equality does not bind a state to be rewarding people with marriage certificate if they don't fit the standard established for marriage? And if you just look at it from a question of equality under the law, then, and that's what the left wants you to look at it from, then we would have, well, the gay couples must have equal recognition of their alliance, just like the heterosexual couples. But here's where the Supreme Court might be swayed. If you start saying, well, it's not a question of equality, because a marriage between two men is not the same thing as a marriage between a man and a woman. For instance, the man and a woman give a hope that there might be a reproductive act working between the two. And that's what a state wants to reward, because, say, we have our conception of demographics, and this is something we want to reward. We don't want to reward just people getting in a couple, because it's not what we care about. What we care about is people getting in a reproductive couple that will be bound forever together, that will own the same thing in a common marriage, and that will produce children from this union. Now, if you define marriage that way, it is not discriminatory to say, well, gay people under this arrangement do not fit the bill. So you can give them some civil acknowledgement or whatever, but there's no reason why you would be bound to sanctify their alliance, which cannot lead to the production of biological babies. Now, maybe the left would answer to this, well, what about adoption? Well, adoption may not be a way of life that a state chooses is the right way to go forward. A state might think adoption is just not as good as the production of biological babies. Go Away says a homosexual male can still marry a woman, therefore they still have the same rights. They used to do it all the time. That is a very interesting take. Yes, definitely. And in a way, you know, the current leftist victory on gay marriage is very disadvantageous for gay people, because precisely when you were in a society that was kind of forcing them to be in the closet and forcing them to find a female partner still, you were basically encouraging their reproduction. But under the current monogamous lifestyle that we are trying to impose onto the gay community, we are punishing them evolutionarily, because in the past, there was still a shot for a gay person to either accidentally or half accidentally get a child with their fake wife that they had. In the current lifestyle, there is no chance that this accident will happen. The left really cannot meme. They think they can ban a word like groomer and the lads won't have a new viral term that nails it less than 12 hours later. Okay, predator. So that is the new replacement for the groomer word on Reddit, predator. I like it. I don't think it's going to catch on as much as groomer. but I like it as a tool of making a detour around this new censorship rules of Reddit. Biden says the Saudis are lying after FM didn't hear him confront MBS on Khashoggi's killing. So the Saudis were saying we didn't hear him, and Biden was saying we did confront them on the Khashoggi killing. I think it's a question of detail. Ultimately, you have interacted with the people that you know have committed the Khashoggi killing. So whether you confronted them is really a symbolic question. You have ultimately interacted with them in a friendly manner. So as far as I'm concerned, not very important whether you said a word or two about it. Power in Chaos, a CNN article. Steve Bannon is disrupting democracy. This is how. They're telling the story of Steve Bannon, who is encouraging people to get into the Republican Party, to change the Republican Party away from the elites and toward what the people want. You know, Steve Bannon has been pushing for this kind of populist uprising. He's been cheering at the populist uprising in Europe. I don't know that you can fix the Republican Party. It's nice to see a naive guy thinking that you can and trying to deploy everything that he can to do it. So he's basically convincing his audience members to run for various positions, you know, encouraging people to get involved in the Republican Party. But every time I see those attempts, I've always seen the elites of the party winning back. They never lose control of their party, really. Go away, says Jeff. Steve Bannon is my favorite hobbit. Yeah, I guess that Steve Bannon is a good stand-in, is the model hobbit from the text of Curtis Yarvin. Yeah, that's a he's pretty much a hobbit in the sense of being a populist and wanting to get engaged in politics, but I think this particular quest will fail. Shrigmamail is sending $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Jeff, it looks as though the low IQ people replacing whites will collapse industrial civilization. Do you think this will be beneficial for white people? I mean, it depends on which extreme path is taken. If you are talking about a true collapse of the industrial civilization to the point where we de-technologize, to the point where basically we reach a point where we can't even run genetic modification and CRISPR experiments because we don't have the brains to do it, that could be good. I'm afraid, though, that there is always a capacity for recycling technologies for people who may not have the brains to invent them, but who have just enough brains to run them. Like, it's one thing to invent the plane, it's another thing to drive the plane. And driving the plane generally is easier than inventing it from scratch. You needed a very high intelligence to invent the plane. And as, you know, people document their blueprints and their attempts, it becomes easier and easier for a person of lesser intelligence to eventually accomplish what was done by a person of high intelligence. So I'm afraid that even with a relative deindustrialization, we will not reach the point where we can basically make CRISPR inexistent. So from that perspective, and because of this, I don't welcome the deindustrialization of Europe and of Western civilization as a good thing for white people. It's going to create a lot of problems. Among other things, white people may not be evolved at this moment in time. A large swath of the population may be unable to do anything else than be employed in a functioning society, and they may not perform very well in a non-meritocratic African type of anarchy, of anarcho-communism of some kind. Silver Spider says, "Hey Jeff, could we have a democracy if the average IQ was higher? If we can't have that, what is the next form of government?" Higher IQ is not the great solution for democracy. Because I don't think it's a lack of intelligence that leads democracy to be dysfunctional. It's the very idea that a mass of people decides for individuals and make decisions for them. Decision that this drug is illegal and this is legal and this is obligatory. That is the problem of democracy, and it's still very present even if your voters are highly intelligent. In fact, arguably, if you were to up the IQ of 10, you take the mean of a society, up it by 10, a democracy will probably converge quicker toward its own destruction and toward absolute communism. Because, yeah, the higher IQ people are in universities, they are liberals, they are more likely to be gay, they are more likely to be everything that you would check as a box for Democrats. So higher IQ is not a solution. What's a solution to societal, to the problem of democracy in our society, is to restore a state of things where people don't expect to be entitled to take the decision for someone else, where we respect individual liberty and we kind of sanctify it to the point where it's inviolable by the group or by the crowd. I need to go take my allergy medicine because I'm starting to sneeze. I'll be back in 1 minute. All right, I'm back. Salamander, in response to my view on IQ doesn't solve democracy, says, "Then why was there no woke before the 19th century when only 10% of wealthiest men were allowed to vote, even in so-called liberal democracies?" Well, that is not a purely IQ-based system, and that's the trick. That makes more sense. If you are only being judged on your wealth, then the system will certainly not be incentivized at making decisions that deprive people of wealth. So see, built in the system, in a system that only allows the richest people to vote, you have a built-in protection against communism. Because there is only one category of people that does not benefit from sharing with the rest of society, and it's the elite in the domain of wealth. It's not the intellectual elite, although there may be some overlap. It is the those people who have property don't want this property to be divided. So that's a that's already a better proposition than IQ, because the problem of IQ is you have a lot of intelligent people who have nothing and who want nothing. They don't have a family, they don't have an inheritance, they don't have property, and in fact many of them are communist. Salamander says, what was or is the correlation between wealth and IQ? I thought it was great. It's great, but I don't think it's enough that it would form a airtight system against communism. And anyways, I also believe that democratic restrictions based on wealth also would end up with their own problems. Basically, the problem is democracy. The problem is not, oh, the particular method that you use for democracy. The problem is giving people power over others that don't deserve it. That's the problem. All right. What else do we have in the news? Conservatives, journalists criticize NPR's new disinformation reporting team. Yeah, pretty much every leftist outlet has their disinformation specialist team, and the goal of it is to basically attack independent creators and make it look like the only reasonable voice is the mainstream voice. But as we've characterized on this show and also on arguably.io, there are plenty of errors that the mainstream has been doing across the decades that they never end up asking for forgiveness for. And it ranges from how they just flock to vaccine promotion to how they covered Trump allegations from women against Trump that were unfounded. Anything they can pull, they're always in the wrong direction. They're always letting their liberal preferences taint the story that they tell. And so I wish they were taking these disinformation team and turning them upon themselves. How was the New York Times coverage of Trump fair? How was the Hunter Biden dismissal fair? I don't think they were. Education in Africa, girls gaining ground on boys. In Africa, progress has been made in a lot of areas over the last few decades. This is something Statista's Martin Armstrong has regularly covered in their infographics, and this using figures from UNESCO, as quoted by the BBC, reveals another aspect which has seen positive developments of late. So primary school completion, 66% for girls, 61% for boys, 44-46, 26-29. So basically, we are applying our Western standard on analyzing what Africa needs to do with their children, and we are, to a certain extent, we are spreading our memes of low reproduction and high concentration on careers and school for girls. It's quite fascinating. I don't think it's going to work. I think that if anything, the evolutionary pressure against IQ and going to school and, you know, sacrificing your reproductive years to advance in school and career, I think this will be even more punishing in Africa than it is in Western civilization. Because the contrast is higher. You are competing with girls around, the girls that don't go to school in Africa will have an average fertility rate of the one that we see at the countrywide level, which is at the continent wide level, which is about 7 babies per couple. You are competing with a much more aggressive competition in Africa, and I think therefore that this natural selection pressure will be higher on those people who sacrifice it all to get employment, careers, and schools. Salamander says, this is great. An employed African woman is a woman delaying her childbearing. Also, you're talking from the perspective of lowering the fertility rate in Africa. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think at best you will have a temporary effect, and eventually the country will converge back toward favoring evolutionarily those females who create 7 babies per couple. US conducts a successful test of 2 hypersonic weapons. So apparently the US was working hard to equate Russia, and they've been now successful. They had a couple of failed trials, but finally they have successfully run hypersonic missiles, so missiles that go at many times the speed of light. All right. New San Francisco DA cleans house after Chesa Boudin ouster, fires 15 employees and announces new hirees. So this was a case of a super woke DA. He got replaced in the election, and so now the new DA is firing people. I think it's great. But will this change the legal status, the status of the law in San Francisco? I don't think it will. I think we'll still get some leftist decision making in DAs. This guy was probably just a little less extreme. FBI previously launched an inquiry into NIH funding of Wuhan Lab emails show. The FBI launched an inquiry into the National Institutes of Health funding of bat research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The interest from the top U.S. intelligence agency adds to the international scrutiny on the Wuhan facility, which houses one of China's highest-level biosecurity labs that has been considered as a possible source of the COVID-19 pandemic. So while our media were denying those stories and the potential of a lab leak, the FBI was investigating this. The feds pile up vaccine adverse event reports as they decry scaremongering elsewhere. Since the FDA authorized the first vaccines for COVID, the government and much of the media have insisted that the medicines developed in record time are safe and effective. Those who raised questions about them have been routinely dismissed as conspiracy theorists, and yet an online database compiled more than 1.3 million reports of vaccine-implicated adverse events running the gamut from mild to severe, including 29,000 deaths. Well, it had been a while we hadn't looked at the virus. So I'm glad to see that we now have a fresher number. I think last time I looked at the virus, we were at 12,000 deaths. We're now at 29,000 deaths. And again, this is a database in which we have stopped vaccines for something like 5 to 10 deaths. And now we have 29,000 deaths, and it's like, everything is fine. Don't talk about the virus. It's not a scientific study. It's not peer-reviewed. Neighbor of black man in Minneapolis shot by police berates protesters. This is not okay. So the mother of 2 young children was saying, this is not a George Floyd situation. So there was a protest because the Minneapolis police shot a black man. But the black man was shooting his gun, you know, and he was shooting, among other things, in the house of this mother, who has 2 young children, 2 and 4, I believe, 2 and 4 year old, and the bullets were coming through the walls, and she could have died, and her children could have died. So she was yelling to the protesters, let it go. This is not a case of an unfair shooting. This guy was dangerous. Salamander says, Jeff, would you be okay with the U.S. repartitioning into 330 million equal population states? Parenthesis, abortion. Well, I actually have proposed before that if we make a state, if we build a new state from scratch, and we want to infuse it with the libertarian principles, I have proposed an infinitely dividable right to opt out. So that means if a city wants to be subtracted from the power of the federal government or whatever is there, it can. If an individual wants to be subtracted from his family, he can. If a family wants to be subtracted from the neighborhood or from the tribe or from whatever level of dissociation, you have to allow it all, or else you don't have freedom and you're back to, well, whatever powers the state has, it will end up exploiting it. So I'm really strong on allowing opt-outs of everything. What if we had a government that has to please people in their service? What if you had a government that says, all right, I can build your road and I can take your trash, but if you don't want the trash collection service, we're not going to be able to collect a single dollar from you in, let's call it, trash tax collection. What if we could opt out of the various aspects of society that we find oppressive? What if you could say, all right, well, everyone here is paying for the fire station. I'm not interested in the fire station. I don't have the means to pay for it. How about this? If your house catches fire, it's okay. We're not going to collect the tax from you, but we're also not going to save your house if it catches fire. I think that would be awesome. And it would force the state to be so much better. And in fact, it would open up the state to competition. What if there's a private fireman service that says, hey, we can offer you fire security for a much better price? Dino Legovic says, you have to pay for water and electricity even if you don't use it. Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. In an ideal world, you should be able to say, I don't want to pay the water tax because I don't use water, or I make my own water. Salamander says, but I guess the counter would be abortion hurts the baby's rights to its own state, to opt out to its being murdered. Yeah, I mean, we could, in such a world, it wouldn't necessarily follow that abortion is legal. You could argue that, yes, the baby has not consented to this opting out, so you can't opt out for the baby until he's born and until he can sign a paper. But yeah, opting out, and I'm not talking of opting out from criminal law here. A murder is a murder whether you opt in or out, because the person living the consequences of the murder and his friends and family did not opt out from murder laws. So if you commit a murder, you cannot say, I opt out from murder laws, because it's the person who's affected by the conduit that needs to be consenting to the opt out. Go away, says Jeff. Yes, so much this. I am a parkour expert and can travel around by jumping from building to building. Why should I have to be charged for roads? Exactly. Parkour! If you like parkour! Why would you need to be taxed for something you don't use? I don't think you're a parkour expert, go away, but nice one. Go Away sends a super chat. He says, assuming Democrats lose the 2024 election, it will be the first time since the 1890s that presidency has changed parties three times in two election cycles. Will this set a new precedent that reflects shorter attention spans and faster cycles of the 21st century? Or will U.S. politics stabilize, in your opinion? It is a good question. I don't think it's going to fundamentally change society and change the cycles of society. I think it's just a kind of secondary effect of the political tension currently experienced around power in the U.S. I think the two sides are just at each other, perhaps out archer than they were before. It seems that the thing is more emotional, more important on both sides. You know, when you see how Biden is treated in the Republican social media, you go on Gab, you go on Truth. It's like they're trying to dunk on him on an everyday basis. And same thing was true in the way the mainstream media, the leftist media, was going after Donald Trump. It was levels of harshness that were not characteristic of 20 years ago, I would say. I mean, you had some scandals being pulled to smear presidents. That's part of American history. But to go as hard as they did on Trump, they probably never did this. So the harshness of the tension and the ideas at play and the emotionality of it and the fact that we are in the social media age where basically the attention span is 4 hours, so you always need to be dunking on the enemy in a new way to attract attention on the internet. That is more the reason to me that we have these this very close tension between Republicans and Democrats, which lead to alternance because of just how much easier it is to convince that the other party is the devil and we have to do everything we can to win this one. That's basically how the Democrats won with Biden. They convinced people that Trump was the devil and they were like, even if you don't vote for anyone else on your form, you have to at least check Biden so that we don't get Trump. As long as we are in this mood of anything but Trump, anything but Biden, I expect that alternance will be a regular occurrence rather than stability. Robert Paulson says, yo, JF, any progress on Project Arcturus? Not at all. I have nothing to report. I have not advanced since my last report. And I'm kind of at a loss of further thoughts on how to explore these numbers in more detail. Wouldn't it be cool if we had the police just interview the guy? I mean, he's in jail. We can ask him. Ask him about how Project Arcturus is encoded. Salamander says, JF, I hear you often being against organized state eugenics, yet you say you want eugenics of very long prison sentences and death penalty for stealing a mere $200. Isn't that somewhat contradicting? Well, here's the thing. And basically, it's such an old position that we can't even take it on the internet anymore. But there was a time at which this eugenic pressure against theft existed in our society. It was private justice. And people would just shoot people they had troubles with. And if you were stealing from someone, you were running the risk of dying. Now, well, I'm not particularly for the state doing this. But I'm appalled that the state only comes in to stop these eugenic pressure. If the state was killing thieves, it wouldn't be enacting a eugenic project any more than the eugenic state of the natural development of human societies, which is that natural human societies converge toward killing the offenders. And the state really only came to handicap this eugenic pressure, to make it harder, to make it happen less, and eventually to make it not happen at all. By converting the, instead of killing, we're going to give a sentence. Oh, and instead of a long sentence, we're going to give short sentence. Oh, and even in short sentences, you're actually going to be immediately liberated from prison, and you're going to do prison from home. Basically, the state, at every stage of its modification of society, has tamed the eugenic pressure that would have existed if the state wasn't there at all. So when I make these arguments, it's kind of within the thought that we are stuck with the state. But my dream would be that the state is not there at all and that private justice is restored. I believe that private justice is legitimate. In fact, I believe that the way our societies combat private justice and make it... Basically, if you defend yourself with a gun in Canada, you are a murderer. There's no difference. If you shoot someone who comes in your house, you will be accused of murder. The fact that the state does this basically disarms people against improving their society. Paulo Marxworth says, gonna call my home defense weapon selection pressure. That's a nice nickname for a gun. Comparing the cost of living around the world. So the highest cost of living index in some European countries, Switzerland, Bermuda, Hamilton in Bermuda, Beirut in Lebanon, and Stavanger in Norway, and then the other cities are all Switzerland. And the local purchasing power index, that's taking the average salary. So it's kind of a cost of living analysis, but that takes into account what is the average salary around you. And it seems that Houston, Texas has high local purchasing power index. Dallas, Texas, Michigan, Texas, Fremont, California. That's probably because of Tesla. Isn't it exactly there that Elon Musk has established Tesla? So people have high salaries, so they have high local power to purchase things. So that is the situation. In contrast, the average consumer in Hamilton, Bermuda has relatively low purchasing power. Based on the average net salary in the city, consumers can afford about 30% less than people in New York City. And of course, inflation continues to drive prices up. Go away, says JF. If we didn't have harsh penalties for small theft, we wouldn't have the greatest country on the earth, Australia. Perhaps we need to bring back such harsh penalties so that we have incentives to colonize Mars. I think you are at a level of 4D chessing that I don't understand at this point. David Pakman is still in the dramatization of COVID. I can't believe this. It's like, I watch a David Pakman video once a year. You're telling me we're in July 2022, and this guy is like, 100,000 unreported COVID cases per day. It's like, oh my God, slow news day, David. You have to do dramatic stuff around COVID still. What is your target audience, David? Is it 60 years old?
The White House has put out a statement that COVID cases are being underreported by hundreds of thousands of cases.
Can you believe this? Hundreds of thousands of cases.
Per day.
Per day. Well, David, you know, the flu for the last 7 million years has been underreported. There are all sorts of cases of flu that you haven't been told about. And the coronavirus, there were coronaviruses that have run in our species for 7 million years too, and you don't know about it. And they were never counted, and they were never reported in a report. How do you feel about that? Go away, says Jeff. How does he know they are unreported? Sounds like a conspiracy theory. Very interesting. It is true that there is something to be criticized here, where we are claiming that there's this phenomenon out there, but we don't quite record it. One thing where they do this is, you know, rape and abuse. There's always, we only get to see only a percentage of them. There must be 10 times more. There must be 100 times more than what is reported. Perhaps no. Perhaps we have reached a point in society where all rapes are reported, or most rapes are reported. In which case, you are dramatizing what's happening. And it's always people who have interest in making it more dramatic. So you'll hear those rape statistics being exaggerated, for example, by social workers, psychologists, people who benefit monetarily from the number being bigger. And David Pakman benefits monetarily the bigger COVID is, perhaps because it doesn't have much insight into covering other news, and also because he's a Democrat, and COVID has been extremely rewarding to Democrats electorally. Nancy Pelosi urges support of $50 billion CHIPS bill hours after disclosing $8 million in NVIDIA. I really don't like the state funding advances in computer science. Of course, in this case, they're talking about the particularly corrupt practice of Nancy Pelosi, who basically is making bets on those companies in the private sector, because they will find there will be some money raining down on them if this bill passes. It's too bad that the computer world is being taken over by the left. Because the computer world, back in my days, was a place for special people. Special people like me, kind of anarchist thinking people who were getting together on the internet precisely because the normies wouldn't. And they're now going to take over even the development of chips, and it's going to be controlled by the government. There was such a wild, wild west in the internet and computer world. I regret that we won't be able to offer this experience to the next generation. The next generation is facing an internet that has already been fully taken over. Stray says, my next-door neighbor died 5 days after the first Pfizer shot. Well, that's too bad. What else do we have in the news? A panic at an amusement park after fights cause panic. Reports of shots fired. So they closed this amusement park because too much chaos. All right. Someone was commenting on Gab about the performance of Russia with their artillery war. And he was saying, everyone has a theory about fifth generation warfare until the artillery starts firing. It's true that what we've seen is that there's nothing quite like having just a massive amounts of not so precise armaments that are just constantly pounding on a city, Russia has demonstrated that it still works. How it started, how it's going, no data linking COVID vaccines to menstrual changes, US experts say. That's on April 23rd, 2021. And now, menstrual changes after COVID vaccines may be far more common than previously known. It's like, we had people on the internet give early warning about this. It was one of the first things that, say, the anti-vax crowd was taking issue with. They've been complaining about it from the very beginning. They've been denunciated by the mainstream media, fact-checked all over the internet. And now it's like, oh, wow. There are menstrual changes, and it's so much more than we previously knew. But it's certainly not so much more than the anti-vax previously knew, because they previously knew that it was going on. Robert Paulson sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, is Frame Games a dark elf? Do you think he had to disappear because the high elves were looking at him suspiciously? Can we chalk Frame Games' special reports up as a favor dark elves have done for hobbits? That is a absolutely proper analysis. Basically, Frame Game would be the exact example that gives credence to the dark elves' explanation of Curtis Yarvin. Although I've criticized that explanation, when you think about it, Frame Games may have been the model dark elf. Frame Games basically fits the description and actually leads one to think, all right, they do exist, these dark elves. These kind of edgy, liberal people who are just interested in helping the other side and somehow paving the way for the other side to prepare the mind of the leftists to accept right-wing ideas. Absolutely beautiful superposition here. I had not thought of it, but Frame Games is exactly the dark elf. Listen to Joe Manchin tell the truth about Build Back Better and Biden's whole agenda, complete social realignment. So I had not covered this because I missed the show 2 days ago. But yeah, Joe Manchin has blocked the heavy spending bill by the Democrats. I'm happy he did. Basically, this guy is being a guardian of centrism. But in a world where the world is controlled by the Democrats right now, it's good to have someone like this. Wow, fuck you, 222. Says, oh shit, I'm live for once. Fuck you, 222 is a old school listener of this show. I mean, you've been with us for what, 4 years? It's good to see you again. I think I may have banned you at times, so I wasn't seeing your chats on my YouTube channel, but now we're on Odyssey, and here you are. Fuck you, 222. I've been receiving super chats from this guy back in the days. I mean, maybe back in 2015, 2016. Good to see you. Good to see you. And now I can say your name, you know? Because on YouTube, I had, when I was reading his chats, I was like, F says... He says, nah, bro, was never banned. Oh, okay, well, maybe I misremember. I couldn't even say your name on YouTube because the algorithm would detect that I've said fuck you and it would punish me. But it's good to see you. Fuck you says, but yeah, the pregnancy was very short days. Okay. Having not talked to you for years, I don't know what you're referring to. Maybe you're You've been having babies. That is excellent. Excellent. If not Trump versus Biden, then who? Here are the politicians showing signs they could be in the mix. Please make it so that we have... I mean, Kristi Noem, that would be great. But please make it so we have Ron DeSantis versus Gavin Newsom. This guy has no chance in America. He has his basis for being elected in California. He cannot reproduce this at the across America. He comes from a world that is just that has just gone too woke for the rest of America. So I would love to see this happen and Ron DeSantis winning. But Kristi Noem is a beautiful governor that I would like to fuck. Governor of South Dakota. And I think, is it South Dakota, if I'm correct? You know, she's been leading the whole harsh stance against abortion. It would be nice to have a first female president of the U.S. And it's not Hillary Clinton. I would just for this, it would be worth it. Now, whether she would be a particularly talented federal head of the federal government, I don't know. I don't really care. Just to put this stamp, the first woman elected president of the United States, put it on anyone else than Hillary Clinton, and I'll be laughing my ass off. I would love to see it happen. And at the same time, it would be like the whole Republican Party shows by being a true female, you know, who loves babies, who wants to, she wants to save babies. By being a true female, you can be elected in this country that the Democrats call misogynist, in this country of the white patriarchy. That would be absolutely wonderful. Mark says, if Mama JF wasn't even more beautiful, well, of course, when I say I'd like to fuck, I'm not serious first. I'm using a term of porn, which is on the internet, you know, mothers I'd like to fuck. Well, Kristi Noem is a governor I'd like to fuck. That's, I'm not saying that I would literally fuck her. The perils of audience capture. Oh my God, I didn't know this was going on. This will be our last news item for tonight. This is a post from June, but I didn't know about this YouTuber. He's a YouTuber, Nicholas Perry, and it got posted on the Discord. He was a vegan, and then he decided not to be a vegan anymore, and his whole YouTube channel became about, I'm going to eat fast food, and the super chats would eventually encourage him to eat more fast food. I want to see you eat a whole 5 burgers or whatever. So it became abusive in terms of the crowd pushing him. Our influencers become brainwashed by their audience, and look at what happened to him. This is him as a vegan. And after years of taking fast food challenges, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? This guy grew into this guy. Top Nicholas Perry when he first started making mukbang videos. Bottom, Perry transformed by his audience's desire into Nico Cado. So, yeah. I'm not a vegan. I'm not for veganism. But you don't want to be to the point where you have that radical of a shift. That's dangerous. This is perhaps a case where I would recommend him to stay vegan. Silver Spider says, let's pay JF to eat fast food, lol. No, I wouldn't do that kind of entertainment. Now, fast food can be good. I eat it sometimes. but I wouldn't make it a subject of entertainment. Too intellectual for this in my preferences. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. I have a big week ahead of me. The Styx debate has been rescheduled. Debate on abortion with Styx at 9 a.m. on Thursday, the 21st. I have an interview on Wednesday with Davinsky TV. He wants to talk. It will be at 10 a.m. My God, why do people want to talk to me early in the morning? And tomorrow we have our Patreon and Subscribestar hangout. It will be right after the regular show. So subscribe to the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level if you'd like to join the conversation. Much love and see you all tomorrow. Thank you.